Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent, documentary, and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. With unprecedented access to Taiwan's sitting head of state, director Vanessa Hope investigates the election and tenure of Tsai Ing-wen, the first female president of Taiwan. Thorough, incisive, and bristling with tension, Invisible Nation is a living account of Tsai's tightrope walk as she balances the hopes and dreams of her nation between the colossal geopolitical forces of the U.S. and China. And President Ing-wen's ability to find that space on an international stage where she is able to make the case for Taiwan as a country that deserves full international recognition is remarkable to watch and a testament to Vanessa Hope's ability to be up close and personal in ways that I don't think I've ever seen in a documentary film about a world leader. It's a wonderful film. It's called Invisible Nation, and we're joined today by the director of Vanessa Hope. Vanessa, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, and thank you for a lot of reasons. It's a wonderful film. It's the kind of access to a head of state that we don't often get. And the fact that she was so amenable and seemed to be a very genuinely intelligent and empathetic figure in this film. And also bringing to our attention Taiwan, which often gets talked about in the abstract here in the United States, around the world. And you make the point with this film, we'll get into why I say that in the course of our conversation, but how did this come about? How did you get to this point where you were able to get the access and convince her that to be the subject of a documentary film?
I love that you point out that it's rare to get access to a sitting head of state. I'm pretty sure we're the second American film ever with a sitting head of state because of the island president was the first one. Yeah. But I was inspired. I had lived in Taiwan the year 95, 96, when they held their first direct presidential elections and China was firing missiles at us on the island. And that really opened my eyes to the story of what was going on in Taiwan, this geopolitical predicament and curiosity about what the U.S. fingerprints were on the story and our foreign policy and how Taiwan was relating to China, which I had spent a lot of time in. And so after finishing a first film about the U.S.-China relationship, where in a way Taiwan was just abstract, it was just about the United States selling arms to Taiwan that upset China, I knew I needed to better understand Taiwan's story from the perspective of people in Taiwan and what they wanted and how they wanted their story told, and went on an international delegation to monitor that the elections were free and fair in January 2016, hoping I could put together a film crew and be there when President Tsai was elected, and it happened. So it was wildly inspiring and it felt really historic. And I just thought, wow, if I could follow a first female president of a democratic progressive party, it would be incredible. And I started working on a grant and a proposal right after that.
And as we were talking about in terms of access, there were a couple of things that struck me about her. One of which is that she's a very unassuming person. You walk into a room, she commands the presence of the people in the room, but at the same time, she is not at all about trying to impose some kind of a sense of her authority. She seems very accessible, easy to talk to. I was struck by her willingness to engage with people, particularly with young people, and that along the way has given her this ability to describe where Taiwan is on the world stage as a country that has essentially been relegated to the margins of the international community. And so describing Taiwan and its place and how we perceive it as a kind of afterthought, as something that is, as I said, a bit abstract in terms of our understanding of its place in the world.
One of the reasons I think it's abstract is because China has controlled the narrative about Taiwan and convinced people that Taiwan is part of China. So we don't think twice about the fact that actually there are people in Taiwan who feel very strongly that they are Taiwanese. That was something I witnessed in that first trip to film the screen behind President Tsai after she won. It was blaring, "We are Taiwanese." And I was like, wow, okay. This is telling us more than the screen is showing, because why would they need to emphasize it? Why are they not being heard? How did this Taiwanese identity develop with their development of their democracy, which was starting in 1996? And I really have lucked out in the timing of the film, because it's only in the last 5 years that people who are Taiwanese, Taiwanese American, international, have been able to really get this story out of how Taiwan has been overlooked and invisible, and why democracy itself matters so much to the people of Taiwan, who have built this incredibly advanced and progressive democracy. Even when I was there watching them pass same-sex marriage laws, doing transitional justice, apologizing to Indigenous people for stealing their land. I mean, it was huge advancements, while in the United States, I was, witnessing a decline in everything in our democracy. So, and making who we are. I mean, racism is a big problem and a part of that in the United States, and in our foreign policy. So it just felt meaningful, and I feel fortunate with the timing of it to have had Taiwan come to life for me and then others through the telling of Taiwan's story with all the incredible characters I met in Taiwan and am now able to share with the world.
One of the things that I think I'm old enough to remember kind of the Cold War history, right, of China and the relationship going back, and you do this in the film, you illuminate this kind of recent history post, well, going back many centuries, but also leading up to a point where, as pointed out in the film, mainland China, the People's Republic of China, has never governed Taiwan. So, which I'm pretty sure will be news to a lot of people who are watching Invisible Nation, that that has never been the case. And also, US government officials and politicians have done Taiwan no favors by their conversations around Taiwan. It feels like they continually muddy the waters when it comes to this relationship between the People's Republic of China and Taiwan as a separate, independent entity.
I think that's fair. I think the United States is trying to do more, and the challenge is always that red line that is constantly moving, that is coming from China about, if Taiwan were to formally declare independence, China would invade. If Taiwan were to formally change its name to Taiwan, not Republic of China, Taiwan, China would invade if they wanted to change their constitution. If the major democracies of the world officially diplomatically recognize them. China has so much power, and its military now too, to not only influence but also control the situation to a certain extent. So every other country is trying to maneuver around that and work with China to try to elevate Taiwan's status to something that it deserves, which would be equal status with every country in the world, but in a way in which China can tolerate it and not feel humiliated and agree to negotiate with Taiwan diplomatically for their future. It seems basic, and it's true. It's the facts of history, or the People's Republic of China has never controlled Taiwan, but they want to, and they've been trying to for decades.
And it's easy for me to sit here as an armchair diplomat to say these things. It is complicated. It is complex. The geopolitics of it are what makes, in addition to so many other things, Invisible Nation such an interesting film to watch. And so there isn't a sharp, this is the right way, this is the wrong way. And I understand all of those, all the things, especially as we see them in the film, that make it complicated. But to see the contrast in the way that they govern themselves and the political maturity of the populace in Taiwan is remarkable, and it's something we should all be striving for. There's a political maturity, there's an understanding of the common good that comes across in the film that, boy, I wish we had more of. I mean, to see that.
I agree. I totally agree. And it was so inspiring, such a relief to go and live there and work there and discover that, because it's easy to lose hope and get cynical in the United States, because we talk about democracy and say that we care about it in our foreign policy and diplomatically, but it's not actually what we've been prioritizing. We prioritize trade and the military. And unfortunately, I think we're seeing the consequences of that in these other wars around the world. And so re-inspiring ourselves and understanding how we can reimagine our own democracies and support Taiwan's at the same time, I think is really important.
Some of that has to do with the fact that there's a constant threat. There's something that they can't quite ever forget. So I think that means something for them to kind of coalesce around the idea of a national identity and the idea that they're all in this together in some manner of speaking, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's true. I think both parties, the main parties, Chinese Nationalist KMT Party and the Democratic Progressive Party, know that they have to work together if they're going to stand up for Taiwan and negotiate with Beijing. It's a difficult position the current president Lai is in, because he doesn't have a majority for the Democratic Progressive Party in the legislature. So there have been major fights and protests going on because the KMT and this other new Taiwan party have been in cahoots and been trying to push through legislation that is threatening to roll back some of the democratic advancement Taiwan has made. And people don't want that.
In the last couple of minutes I have with you, I want to talk as much as we can about just what a wonderful leader Tsai Ing-wen is in the context of all of this, and her humility. The film opens basically with her talking to high schoolers because they're the future. I love that about her. There's so much to love about her. And in your answer also, because we don't have much time, the reaction to the film, you know, good either in Taiwan or here as it's been screening around the world. But talk about her, just the sort of the persona that she is, and so genuine in the way that she goes about her business.
It is so refreshing, isn't it, to see a woman in power who is humble and modest and genuine and doing good and clear in her intentions and increasingly brave in her confidence and her speaking up for her country and her people. It was something to learn from, and I think feel inspired by, and people around the world seeing the movie seem to feel the same way. And I think she's definitely inspiring the younger generation. I mean, the women in our film, but the high school students, people who see it, they understand that it is possible for women to reach the highest office and make a difference. She stood up to tremendous misogynistic backlash from China at the beginning. They were saying, you know, someone who wears a skirt or is a woman cannot be in charge of the military. Someone who's never had children can't think long term. Someone who's never been married isn't emotionally stable. Terrible things that she just ignored, and so did the people of Taiwan. And so that they can embrace a kind of humorous, sophisticated, intelligent, humble woman, you know, with her cats and her dogs, even in her campaign photos, it's amazing. It's so cool.
It's so cool. And
yeah, I hope more people can see the film so that they can enjoy meeting President Tsai this way.
Thank you. Yeah, and thinking of women who have been leading nations around the world, New Zealand, Finland, Germany, Merkel. I'm leaving some out here.
Iceland. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I almost got it all. Yeah, Iceland. Yes, all of the. It's encouraging, and we could learn so much from the leadership and the style of leadership and the courage from Tsai Ing-wen. And thank you so much, Vanessa Hope. The film is Invisible Nation, and it will be opening today, Friday, May 31st at the Quad Theater in New York City. It'll also be opening here in Los Angeles at the Lemley Glendale on June 20th, as well as on June 21st at the Lemley Royal in Los Angeles. And such a wonderful piece of work, and the opportunity to be this up close with someone who is not only a world leader, but a courageous and spirited presence, and all of that comes across so beautifully. And Vanessa Hope, your work on films like Disturbing the Universe and Who We Are, I want to thank you for all of that work, as well as Invisible Nation. Vanessa Hope, thank you so very much.
Thanks, Mike.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.